Around many a kitchen table, families are talking with their graduating high school seniors about where they'll go to college. National Decision Day is May 1st. That's the day by which most schools require an answer whether the students they've accepted will actually attend. Of course, the affordability of tuition, room and board are big factors, but even with the escalating price of a college education, a new report by the UH Economic Research Organization released this week may nudge families and students into taking loans to pay for it. It shows, that is, the report shows, that women with a bachelor's degree make more over their working lifetimes than men with the same degree, but men make more than women once postgraduate degrees are factored in. I talked with economist Jonathan Page, the director of analytics for the UH Economic Research Organization, or UHERO, earlier today about those numbers and why there's still a disparity between men and women.
There is this kind of long-standing difference between men and women in lifetime earnings. So when we estimate the lifetime earnings using data from 2000 to 2015, we're also including people that are nearing retirement in some of these calculations to estimate the life cycle earnings. So we are getting individuals who have been in the workforce for quite a long time, and so some of the gender disparities that are even historical come into this calculation.
Especially, though, that seems to show up ironically, at the postgraduate level. Why there?
We don't touch on that much in this paper. In general, a lot of the differences in incomes between the genders relate to some of the occupational choices, depending on the major, are more represented by women or respectively more represented by men. And so this selection into different career choices is highly correlated with the incomes that we observe.
How deep did you go into the data from just, you know, UH in terms of those choices?
Unfortunately, the data set that we worked with is excellent for estimating these life cycle earnings, but it's not very good for us to be able to do a deep dive on where exactly did these individuals graduate from. And so we used a standard approach to make some assumptions of what earnings would be coming out of school from UH. Now, fortunately, you know, Hawaii P20 is in the process of collecting quite a bit of data on UH graduates, and so it is my hope that, you know, in the future we'll be able to have much better estimates of UH graduates in particular.
So then I got to ask you, how can people rely on this kind of data, especially when you've got college counselors and parents and a lot of families which will be making some choices very, very soon about where their kids are going to go to school?
So that's a great question. I would just say that some information is better than no information. And this is data that we have analyzed using the best tools and the safest process possible. So this is a safe estimate. We've been conservative. There are many benefits that we are not considering. We are conservative on the costs that the student himself is foregoing in going to school. So I would be comfortable in communicating this as a lower bound of what you should expect on average.
You mentioned that there were some benefits not included in this, and it's quite conservative. Can you talk a little bit more about that to give that a little bit more shape in terms of what benefits you didn't look at?
Sure. There are a variety of non-monetary benefits that graduates of college do in general get. There are many studies over the past decade looking at one, for example, by Bruce, who suggests that 30% of returns to schooling in middle age are acquired through marriage, that there's a lot of this marriage sorting that people do in college or in their careers that they have access to because of college. And so there's a lot of these interesting little effects that happen sort of because you kind of went to college. College also has the opportunity to expose you to different cultures, to help you learn more about your world. And as you learn more outside of just where you have come from, your perspective on life expands.
So some of those maybe softer skills or perspective-shaping ideas that come out of college, that's a completely different idea from what someone really can expect to make based on only having the degree. I think we understand that. But then there's the idea, Jonathan, of debt and tremendous debt that kids and families take on, especially for those postgraduate years if they choose to go on to grad school. Those numbers also don't seem to be in this at all in terms of offsetting or being offset by what they get by having that degree.
Well, that's not exactly right. So in the paper, we do look at the cost of tuition and fees, and these loans are largely to offset tuition and fees. The other side of loans is to offset foregone earnings. So you give up working some to be in school, and so you often take loans. I know that I did, to be able to survive, you know, just going to school. And those are costs that we do consider. So when we're talking about your the expected benefit that you get from school, we're not just talking about your benefit, but we're talking about your benefit here, you know, net of these costs of tuition fees and the earnings that you forego.
So let's take, for example, someone who is in medical school, and as we actually had someone tell us a couple years ago on the program, was going to be graduating with student loans of about, you know, $260,000. If you're at that level, how then do you expect to have your earnings offset given the time relative to pay off those student loans?
Yeah, so this is why the emphasis on the paper is on life course earnings. So I, too, have a similar level of debt, but I am confident that my earnings will pay for that debt and more. So the cost in terms of the debt is huge, and it is staggering. But in terms of lifetime earnings, we earn much more than that amount over our life. So, you know, $250,000 sounds like quite a bit. Once you consider, you know, assume you're earning $50,000 a year, you know, that would be, you know, just five times that you'd be able to get up to that level. And so in one's life, you accumulate or spend quite a bit more than these values that we kind of throw around. So it can be hard to wrap our heads around these numbers when we talk about a more than $1 million benefit. Often we're comparing that internally to maybe an annual salary, and that's just kind of the wrong comparison to make.
Jonathan, forgive me, but when you talk about making $50,000, when in Hawaii that would mean you're going to be sharing an apartment or a condo or a house with a whole bunch of people to be able to make it, and then having to paying off student loans, a lot of people are caught in that position and feeling like they're not really moving forward.
So I understand that. I guess what I would say is what we are talking about in this paper are kind of the averages. So if you look at on average, the benefits far outweigh the costs. That's not to say that there will be some individuals who face costs that to them far exceed the benefits that they are seeing, at least immediately. It is my expectation that over their lifetime that they would be able to pay off the debts and that their earnings would exceed what they would have got just with high school.
And some folks would say, yes, especially that would be true if they move away from Hawaii for a little bit to be able to make sure that all of that gets paid off, even if they want to come back to Hawaii too. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bethany.
Jonathan Page is the Director of Analytics for the UH Economic Research Organization, or UHERO. He is the lead author of the report, Financial Benefits to a University of Hawaii Education. If you'd like to have a look at the numbers, you can find a link on our website or our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.